Folks, we need to get to the place that we stop thinking about ourselves. Our walk is not about us. Our walk never was supposed to be about us. Yes, us is there. Yes, us needs to be addressed, but it's never about us. It's about God. It's about being part of His family. It's about falling down before the throne of God and submitting to Him. It's about stopping your mind from doing the things of the flesh. It's about starting your mind to do the things of the Spirit. And we are to distinguish our God. Turn to Isaiah 43. Our God is to be the most distinguished entity in our lives, the most distinguished situation, the most distinguished person, the most distinguished everything. We have no right to claim ourselves as better than God. We have no right to pedestal ourselves above God. We have no right to dwell on our own personal lives more than we dwell on God. We must dwell on God, and we must distinguish God, because He is our Father, but He is the ultimate of everything. We are not. We never will be, and we don't want to be. We want God to have His rightful place in our lives. So if we want to talk about us, we want to talk about us bowed down, face to the ground, before the throne of God. Now the beauty of that is that we are seated in the heavenlies. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Witnesses is from, these are all Hebrew words, so I'm not going to keep saying Hebrew, okay? Witnesses is from ed, ed, meaning a witness, a testimony, a recorder. Chosen is from bachar, or bachar, b-a-c-h-a-r, meaning selected, acceptable, appointed. Know is from yada, y-a-d-a, meaning to know, to recognize, comprehend, discern, regard, have respect for, understand. Believe is from aman, a-m-a-n, meaning to build up or support. A nice way to look at it is to foster as a parent or nurse. To trust. To turn to the right. Understand is from being. B-I-Y-N. Meaning separate mentally or distinguish. To consider, be cunning, have intelligence, look well to, perceive, be prudent, deal wisely. Before is from panium, p-a-n-i-y-m. Meaning a before time, forefront. Now the meaning shifts to something quite interesting, and it can be any of these. Out of me, through, till, as in until, formed a familiar word for you all is Yatsar, as Adam was formed, Yatsar, meaning through the squeezing into shape, to mold into a form like the work of a potter. And God uses that expression in his word, the potter and the clay. After is from ash, a char, A-C-H-A-R, meaning the hind part. Think of Moses. And I would like to give you a literal of this. Ye are my testimonies, saith the Lord, and my bondsmen, whom I have found acceptable, that ye may comprehend and trust me, and distinguish that I am he. Out of me there was no Almighty God molded into a form. Never shall there be behind me. And I trust that you take this to heart and understand the absolute importance. It's like an edict that God has given to man, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. We must distinguish our God. We must put him where he belongs and never remove him. It's folly to attempt any removal. It's folly to attempt any placement of you higher than he. And I ask you to bow before the throne of God and to accept his position in your life, in mankind's existence, and in the face of all eternity. Because that's one thing that will never change. The word says that I am God and I change not. Never expect a change from this. Drive yourself to humility. Drive yourself to trusting in the promises, because they came from the Almighty God. That's the end of this teaching. I'd like you to turn to James chapter 1. I am not finished, but I will be developing, I am developing a series on believing, and it's called Believing There Is No Contention. And this is the very first part, and I wanted to release this to you to give you hope, to help you, to inspire you, and to further direct your dunamis walk. I want you manifesting dunamis. You must manifest dunamis. I don't want you to be asleep at this. I want you to be fearless, and I want you to manifest dunamis. It's a commandment. There's no way around it. If you're standing before the throne of God, you're required to accept this. Why would you be there otherwise? James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This is, the subject is meaning wisdom. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. And one thing throughout this series that you will notice is that the manifestation of faith is almost always associated with speaking. Words are being spoken, faith is being manifested. Nothing wavering. And this word wavering is the pinnacle of our study. It's the Greek word diakrino, D-I-A-K-R-I-N-O. And it means to withdraw from. I'll get to it in a minute again, so don't worry about not capturing everything. To withdraw from, to discriminate, be partial, but especially no contention. No contention. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything. And what was it? Wisdom of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The greatest thing that you could ever receive from God is his wisdom. Solomon knew it. You might think the greatest thing is another paycheck, healing, an answer to a question, help with a situation. And surely those are important, but I'm not talking about the things that are not the greatest. I'm talking about the greatest thing that you can receive from God is wisdom. Could you possibly alter your thinking and move your life to respond to that, to accept that wisdom? And this is if you lack it, that's only you can decide. But if you lack it, or let's say if you need it, would you ask God for it? I don't do a word study anymore or a preparation for a teaching without asking God to help me figure it out. And I might ask that several days before because I like how it happens. It's kind of fun. All the things that start to grind and move and shift in my brain. I get so excited I can hardly sit down to work the word because I'm already getting information. Now that's what you could do. It's all about wisdom. You don't ask me to do things non-wisdom related. Everything is based on God's wisdom. When I ministered to David with gift of healings, it took God's wisdom. When I told Joy the three words that she could use, it took God's wisdom. Everything takes God's wisdom. John can't figure out how to help Joanne, his wife, without God's wisdom. Joe can't figure out the best way to do something in his business without God's wisdom. And surely that applies to me. When I'm in my meetings with untold people, I often just sit there and wait. I won't even open my mouth until it comes into my mind. Then it's there. And I use God's wisdom and I interjected immediately. I stopped the conversation and I expect them to listen, and they do. And I tell them like one word or two words or three words, and it takes care of everything. There's no way for me to exist without God's wisdom. I would not want to exist without God's wisdom. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded would be you have your wisdom, and then you have access to God's wisdom. From this verse, we are compelled to study diakrino, which means separation or contention. At first, I thought the better meaning of this would be separation, but no longer. To better understand unbelief and the role it plays in preventing faith. Diakrino. Remember the word wavering? In verse 6, wavering. That's diakrino. And it is believing's enemy. I'm pretty sure that it's believing's greatest enemy. I know we've thought that fear was, and there's a way that fear plays into this. But I want to say that in direct contrast, diakrino is faith's enemy. Faith being pistis. Faith being, in this context, activated faith. Because it says, let him ask in faith. When you ask, that faith has to be active. You see what I mean? And it says nothing wavering. There's the conflict. And that's a contention. There's the enemy. And I want you to look at things like this. Like, you have the good guy and the bad guy. You have the super Christian conqueror, and then you've got the enemy. You have the protagonist and the antagonist. I want you to look at it with two sides, two views. But I'm going to ask you to start renewing your mind and accepting that you must never allow the enemy any place. This is going to be your walk if you want to manifest dunamis. Well, let's give you a sample. How about that? Because the study of this word, specifically as it relates to its opposition to active faith, is vital to your understanding. I'd like you to turn to Matthew 21. I want to define diakrino one more time. I already did, but I told you I'd do it again. And it means to withdraw from, to discriminate, to be partial, but my favorite is no contention. And that's why I titled the series with that word in it. I want you to think of that, no contention. And I want to say something about contention. Now, some of you might just have perfectly renewed minds. But many of us deal with contentions all day long. If you're trying to speak a foreign language, you surely do. How do I do it? Is it this way or is it that way? What do I say? Why did that person do this? How do I handle that situation? What happened there? Oh, now I've got to do this. And so there's contentions all the time. Do I drive at this speed or that speed? Do I eat this piece or that piece? We have contentions that befall us in a vast composition of attacks. Because rightly so, we should have a peaceful mind where there are no contentions. And yes, it is available. Jesus taught it was. And if you look at these words like wavering and doubt and things like that, under the microscope of contention, believing activated faith will take on a brand new light. Matthew 21, verse 21. And Jesus answered, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith, pistis, and doubt not. Isn't that kind of funny? If you have faith and doubt. Wow, that's kind of funny.
Opposite.
Like if you took the word not out of there and just read it like that. If you have faith and doubt, you shall not. So it won't work. You have to keep the word not in there. I'm just playing. If you have faith and doubt not. If you have faith and doubt not. Well, now, how many of you have already memorized that verse? I'm sure just about everybody. The word doubt is diakrino. And let's just forego the other possible definitions and say contention. If you have faith and contend not. See that? You shall not only do this to the fig tree, but also if. Now, when you see these words, if, I need you to put on a different pair of pants. That's what they say down here. Some of these companies wear trousers 40 years old. We need to put on new trousers. I think I already told you that one time. But we need to put on new trousers. Remember the verses that talked about if you shall drink any deadly thing? And they left if out for taking up a serpent? It's the same thing. You've got to be in that situation. Maybe you're not in that situation. But if and when you are, here you go. If you have pistis and diakrino not and contend not, you shall not only do this to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. I can guarantee you, beyond any possibility of a doubt, that Jesus was not lying. And so what we have to do, and we're beyond the Christ administration, folks. We're in the grace administration, into which dunamis was gifted. I would say that this is preparatory, but they also could do this. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. It shall be done. And all things, there you go, there's your catch-all. Whatsoever ye shall ask. And ask means to crave. There's other words for it, but I like crave the best. It could be desire or require, but crave is really cool. In prayer, prosuke, and that's earnest prayer. Now, how do we earnestly pray without any effort at all?
Speak in tongues.
I think that that would be speaking in tongues. Believing, and there's where the show stops. There's where it gets all kind of anxious. There's where I don't believe we've been taught the right things about it. I think we've been taught wonderful things, good things, timely things, but now it's time to move on. Believing, ye shall receive, and oh, we have been taught about that. The show starts up again, because we know what lambano means. But we've forever had a problem with believing. I'm talking about believing that causes us the active faith that actually causes us to receive dunamis into manifestation. The goal is to not have any contention. It's to separate pistis from partiality. Partiality is not only something you do with people, but it could be with the promises of God. The emphasis is placed on what not to have so that faith may flourish. Verse 22 says that for all things, ask, desire, crave, in earnest prayer, we're to be earnest about it. So whenever you want something to happen spiritually that requires the use of dunamis, are you earnest before you open your mouth or after? Where is your earnestness? Do you even have it? Or is it just trite, right, but a rote, but not real? I'm only reading what it says. I love you guys, but we got to drill through some pretty heavy walls here. That for all things, desire in prayer, be earnest about it. Believe, which now should mean to you no contention, and receive, which does mean to you receive into manifestation. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Acts, we're going to come back to this, but Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, you guys should be familiar with this if you were in the class, they that were of the circumcision contended. And that's the word diakrino. Diakrino. They that were of the circumcision contended with him. Now, this is what happened in Jerusalem, but that's not what happened at Cornelius' house. In Cornelius' house, we know what happened. They had no contention. I didn't include those verses in this teaching because of recency. We just talked about it. But Cornelius and his household and all of his kinsmen and who knows, all these people that were there with Peter and the six, it says that there was absolutely no contention. Cornelius just said, do it, Peter. Do it. No contention. But not only with him, it was with everybody. There wasn't one iota of contention in that room. Verse 12. Here's Peter's response. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Doubting is the word diakrino. The Spirit said, don't have contention. Now you're getting the picture that this came right from the throne? If you're going to believe, you can't have any doubt. Peter, when you go, I want you to trust. I want you to accept my promises. Holy. No doubt. None. Don't let it in. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we went and we entered into the man's house. So there was no contention. Contention is the antithesis of believing. And it is mental contention. It's doubting existence. So I'd like to give you a literal of this to close out this section. Verily I say unto you, If you have faith and do not have contention, you shall not only do this to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all of these, whatsoever ye shall crave in earnest prayer, having active faith, ye shall receive into manifestation. Thank you.